The reason we're recording this, which it should be titled Why We Started Ground Up Partners, is because the concept is very applicable to anyone looking for market inefficiency. So
welcome to the Big Picture Blueprint. I'm your host, Dan Ebercost, along with Mason McDonald. And we're going to discuss all things land, real estate, and business in general with all kinds of exceptional people. Let's get started.
Mason McDonald here, and Dan and I are going to be bringing you a different show than what we've been doing for the past handful of episodes, and it's just us today, so we get to have the conversation together, and we don't have any expert guests. We get to pretend to be the experts today, but Dan, how are you doing?
Mason, I'm great. Business is crazy, really working on dialing in and bettering our SOPs and systems and getting better KPIs and all that sort of thing. How about you?
Few big closings this week. It's March 15th of 2024 as we're recording this episode. And I think there's a lot of optimism still in the market, just like we've been saying the past few months. And just like you're saying with SOPs, that you and I are both going to Japan in a couple of weeks. And so we need to make sure our businesses are operating very effectively and very efficiently in order to be able to take 2 weeks and go all the way across the world.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm excited about it. I think a little bit nervous, but I think that's important because we both want to be able to travel whenever we want. So need to figure out how to set up the business to the point where it doesn't need us. And so you're never going to feel ready to do that. You just have to do it.
Absolutely. So, well, and that's the cool thing about what today's episode is going to be about is you and I have now built a business together, and we're trying to do it the right way from the very beginning. And I think the listeners are going to really enjoy hearing what we have to say about it.
Yeah, I agree, because guys, the reason we're recording this, which it should be titled Why We Started Ground Up Partners, is because the concept is very applicable to anyone looking for market inefficiency. So for anyone that hasn't heard, Mason and I started Ground Up Partners into last year. And what we're doing is providing the capital for land deals. And the reason this came up is because there's a massive hole in the market. If you want to go finance a house, retail strip center, an industrial building, an apartment, there's capital available. If you want to go finance a piece of land, there really isn't. I mean, it is almost non-existent, barring, you know, construction loans that include the purchase of the land. And there's some examples, but generally speaking, it's just not available. It is a very inefficient market, which presents an opportunity. So I'll pass it over to you, Mason, so you can comment on that.
Yeah, I think the way that anyone should approach business is first at the personal level of what skill set do you have and what knowledge or prior knowledge do you have that allows you to execute on something pretty effectively. Dan and I are both in the real estate related business. We have been involved in some aspect of real estate and real estate investing for quite a while now. And the skill set that is needed in the land flipping business aligns with what our personal skill set is. And to just walk you through what that pipeline of the entire land flipping business is, starting from front end to back end, is it starts with research and market selection, and then into marketing, direct to seller marketing specifically, and lead generation, negotiating and acquisitions and closing of deals, providing the capital and finding the capital necessary to close the deals, and then disposition of the deals or on the sales side. And so if you look at all of the different components of that business and this business that we're in, there's a lot of other businesses that provide the services necessary. There's cold calling businesses, there's direct mail businesses, transaction coordination and title companies and everything in between, realtors. But what both of us experienced within our own business is the capital part, where luckily for me starting out, I had a little bit of capital saved up that I was able to deploy over and over again that allowed me to do it. But whenever I was attempting to scale, there wasn't really an effective solution. So I had to go out to friends and family members and say, hey, can you partner with me on this deal? I'll give you anywhere from 30 to 70% of the profit of the deal, because I couldn't go to the bank. The bank had zero interest in working with me. I couldn't go to hard money lenders, because most of the hard money lenders in the real estate investing space are only interested in working with homes or single family homes, fix and flips, or small multifamily. And I really couldn't go to the institutional people, the private equity folks, the family office folks. And anywhere, any of those types of larger organizations that provide financing at a large scale. So I was giving up a tremendous amount of money in the business, and everyone that I knew was doing something very similar. And so that's kind of where the idea came from of, hey, I'm having this issue in my business, and I've consistently had this issue in the business. Dan has had the issue in the business. Dan funded a deal for me whenever we first became friends. And everyone we knew had it. So we saw that opportunity and said, okay, we understand what it takes both on the fundraising side of the business as well as the capital deployment and putting it into deals, which allowed us to pretty seamlessly vertically integrate within our business. Because now that we have capital and we understand the land business, which most people don't, we were able to start this company. And Dan, I'll pass it back off to you.
Yeah, you made a lot of good points there. I like the way you laid out looking at all aspects of the business, you know, from beginning to end, looking at the pipeline and seeing where is there a massive gap. I know, you know, one of our mutual friends right now is likely starting a bookkeeping company specifically for real estate investors. And I think, again, because we want to oscillate between what we're doing, but then how that applies to the big picture, I think that's a great example because I know you, myself, and just about everyone we know does not like our bookkeeper as far as people who own real estate businesses, right? And so that's a big hole in the market where everyone has the same frustration, and finding a competent bookkeeper for real estate investors is challenging. But back to the point at hand, I wanted to expand on everything you just said where we have found it's not just people like us flipping lots that are worth anywhere from 20 to a couple hundred grand or $500,000. Even people doing this at a much higher level, some of our prior guests, some of our friends who are doing, you know, seven and eight and figure land deals, they struggle to raise capital too. And I want to further highlight the whole idea of the inefficient markets where banks just don't understand land. They group everything into the raw land category. I've ranted on this show before about the difference between raw versus horizontally developed land, but most people don't understand that. And banks and lenders tend to be that way. And so it all just gets put under the umbrella of ultra risky. It's not. And so because of that, there is a huge opportunity, and that's where Ground Up Partners has come from. And just what are we, 4 or 5 months in, Mason, the amount of deals getting submitted is insane. And along with that, what we've seen hearing from some of our clients with that have worked with some of the other lenders, the bar is really low. There are very few competent people providing capital for the land space, and many of them are a bit seedy. So,
well, and I think being able to tie in some of the stuff that you're talking about into the marketing that is at play with this business, if everyone is sending the same marketing material saying, we buy land for cash. Well, that's absolutely true. You have to buy land for cash because, just like Dan is saying, banks don't really understand it. They lump it into this risk category where, yeah, you can get a loan for land. And typically, it's going to be at 50% of the loan-to-cost ratio, depending on which bank you're working with, and a pretty high interest rate. And there's a lot of reasons behind that of there's not an actual physical asset that they're securing it against. It's just this piece of land that doesn't really have that much value until you put something on it that can either generate income or that someone can live on, because people aren't actually living on this vacant land that we're partnering with people on. And I think recognizing that the competition out there is not really severe because we don't have the institutional players in the game. And even if the institutional players are in the game, which we can talk to kind of about the long-term sustainability of this model at a later point in the show, man, I go back to whenever I was buying a truck, had to buy a truck both for tax purposes as well as needing a vehicle, and for the just within the land business of having a vehicle that could go out to some of the more rural land sites that I was looking at, and I could not get a loan through the bank. I had more than enough cash to buy two or three of these trucks. I had a consistent six-figure income for the past handful of years, and between my wife and I, who's a 50% equity owner in the company, like, we had money, and the bank said, we cannot lend to you because of this. So even though there's institutional players in the vehicle lending space, they're still not that good at anything. And I know that there's better people out there, and that sort of thing. But I think it's prudent to share a story with one of the deals that we've partnered on recently, where they were shopping lenders or shopping JV partners. And the day before they were anticipating closing, the JV partner that was going to provide all the capital and do a profit split, which was apparently going to be a little bit cheaper than what we were going to give out on the profit split, backed out at the last minute and say, hey, we'll do an assignment deal with you and give you $5,000. It's over $40,000 in equity in this project where, I mean, it's ridiculous. And I hear stories like that and I feel bad for the people that are interacting with them. And Dan and I aren't trying to sell you guys on using us. Go find people to do this with all day and all night. And whenever you come to us because you've had these frustrating experiences, we're going to be really excited to work with you. But hearing stories of what our competition looks like in this space really exacerbates the point of how inefficient this market is and how non-competitive it really is.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to tell stories like that. I still can't believe that. It makes me laugh because it was a well-known lender that did that. But all that to say, it's important when looking for these opportunities, if you find a space or a segment within your business that fits some of these descriptors, well, you need to make sure that there's enough opportunity within the space for it to make sense. And so what I mean is, within the context of housing, real estate, and land specifically, we have a massive housing shortage in the United States right now. And there's been a lot of immigration the last few years, which only makes it worse. And all new housing ultimately starts with land. And so you juxtapose the inefficiency of the market, the lack of availability of capital, with the massive demand and need for the land. And that is what really creates the opportunity. Because if you have a small business in some, there's a word, I'm blanking on the word, but some niche space where there isn't a lot of demand, well, yeah, I'm sure it's really inefficient and there aren't a lot of big players, but who cares? Because there's not a lot of demand, so there's not a lot of opportunity. But in the land space, my gosh, there is a massive opportunity because of the housing shortage. And so there's tons of examples, but I'll pause there for a moment.
Do you hear about the deals that Dan and I are doing and feel like you lack the capital or knowledge to do them yourself? Allow us to be your partners in this and visit gupland.com to learn more about how we can provide you with all the capital to complete land transactions, as well as the expertise and guidance for you to create your own business. Visit us at gupland.com. Yeah, I think what people neglect to realize is that while there's a handful of, and we can focus on just the single family home space for now, there's a good amount of large builders in the country that have tons of cash and cash on hand. But for the most part, these mid-sized local regional building groups, they do not have a significant amount of cash on hand. And so whenever you can see that opportunity of, okay, the builders don't have a ton of cash to come in this space and purchase land, even if it's at a discount, and then the land folks out there that are able to go direct to seller don't have a ton of cash on space. It's how do you infuse cash into this market to make it so where, okay, the builder, if they have a basis on the land and they're able to build at their building cost, then there's a significant amount of equity that is forced into it through the vertical construction that just shows that there's more and more and more opportunity to find out this solution of that in-between space that we're in, of between taking it from a horizontally developed piece of land into something that's vertically constructed. So it just, I think, really outlines and shows that there's people that aren't really doing this. These mid-sized builders don't have the cash on hand to outright purchase the land. And since the rates are so abysmal, getting these construction loans, a lot of lenders won't really touch it. It just shows that there's a need and a demand from the macro scale of we're short on housing to there's just this space within the market that these mid-sized folks can't capitalize on.
Yeah. And I can give a couple of examples along that train of thought. The contractor that I'm personally using for a couple builds myself in Pueblo called me the other day, and she's got a big project she's doing where I forget how many homes, but it's a couple hundred homes. And she has the land under contract. She spent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars to go through the entitlement process with the building department. And she's at the point where it looks like it's going to get approved and she's going to move forward. And The problem is she goes, I'm going to make my money when I build on these. I have quite a bit of cash already sunk into this. I really just need a lender to carry me to the finish line where I can close on the lot since I've got the approvals now. I'm sure I can do this. And then I can put in the physical infrastructure and get these ready to be built on. She needs that gap, that bridge funded, and nobody will do it beyond, you know, private lenders who know the space specifically. And even within that, she's having trouble. It's a great project. And the upside for the investor is insane because, again, she said, oh, I just want to make my money when I build, because that's what she does. She's a builder. She's fine with that lender in the middle taking the spread between what cost of the raw land and infrastructure is versus what those finished lots are worth. And so, again, it's a real life example from last week that emphasizes the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Well, and what people need to realize is obviously there's going to be a level of risk at any point where Dan and I mitigate a lot of the risk within our own businesses by acquiring land at a substantial discount, by being able to go direct to seller. And the example that you're talking about, there's a certain amount of risk at play whenever it is the raw piece of land, of just a big piece of dirt that hasn't been entitled yet. There's no horizontal infrastructure. Their roads might not be put in or utilities might not be put in yet. And I don't know the full situation, but at each phase, the risk is reduced. So there are those lenders within this space that are, or the private equity people or family office people that are saying, okay, well, this is what our buy box is or our investment criteria is. We'll only touch fully entitled land, or we'll only touch fully entitled land where the roads and utilities are in, kind of along this progression towards the vertical construction. And if you really understand the space, it's like, okay, well, here's this raw piece of dirt and they've gone through the feasibility studies and the entitlement process. And now I know that my risk is mitigated, and what she really needs help with is getting the land from here of entitled to shovel ready. And once you get to that shovel ready point, going back to what we talk about, I can't even remember which episode it is, of talking about the multiple exit strategies within land. Say there's 100 lots that are coming out. If she needs to pay back the investor, sell off a phase of the land for cash to another builder to be able to come in, and you're able to pay off our equity infusion that we put into this project. And so I think something to realize is we're trying to keep this as simple as possible and not use crazy finance terms or anything like that. But these family office people and these private equity people, and then there's these builders and developers out there, and there's a really lack of connection within the space. And a lot of people hear about the middleman that is, and they get dissuaded by it. But if you're the relationship connector within this space and being able to provide institutional money or have significant amount of capital to be able to use that skill that you've developed in this business of going direct to seller and finding these deals that are out there. There's a plethora of deals within the United States that they don't have the capital to figure out how to do it. They don't know how to have the conversations that Dan and I know how to have with these people to get it done. You can find that value by recognizing there isn't a space here. And it just gets me really, really excited talking about it.
Yeah, I have to give one more example because it kind of blows my mind. So D.R. Horton, one of the largest builders in the country, they bought a lot for me last year in Cape Coral, Florida. And they paid ask, and the terms were great, except it was, I think, 120-day close. And that's because I was talking to my realtor, and he says, oh, yeah, this is typical. They set it up so that they will either have or be about to have the permit when they actually close on the land. And so that is because of the same problem of the financing of the land itself and needing that permit and including it in the construction financing. And so I got to know one of their land acquisition people via that transaction. I was talking to him. He's Southwest Florida land acquisition. I forget specifically the term, but that side of Florida. And he goes, yeah, there's other opportunities where if we're taken down, just like the description I gave you of my local builder, if we're taking down a big piece, we need interim financing as we get the entitlements, we'll pay, I forget, but it was an obscenely high return, like 25 or 30% for a short, less than a year period of time. And so even D.R. Horton, one of the biggest builders in the country, has the same problem. That's an opportunity.
And that right there, of it was the headline news, and I think we've spoken about it in other episodes, of in August-ish of last year, Berkshire Hathaway invests $800 million into single family home builders. And I think about $600 million of that went into D.R. Horton. That's a huge infusion of money. But the crazy thing is, when you're hearing these rates that they're willing to pay for this interim financing and everything like that, is you have to recognize that if the piece of land as is, raw piece of dirt, there's no road, you know, no true roads, there's no true utilities, that can go anywhere from 2 to 10x in value once it's just entitled. And then you add utilities, another 2 to 10x, depending on the location. I'm doing round numbers because I'm bad at math. And then you put the vertical on it. And if your basis is low because you have all the in-house construction, it just keeps multiplying and multiplying and multiplying what the value of land is. So 20 to 30% on the basis of the land at whatever level of entitlement or horizontal infrastructure that's been put in, it's nothing. It is pennies on the dollar. We talk all the time of buying land at anywhere from 20 to 70 cents on the dollar. And for them, it's like, I don't care about that 20 to 30%, because I know that each level adds so much, because 2 times versus 0.2 times is 10 times more, if that makes sense. So it's once again, Dan, that's a really great example of illustrating that even one of the largest single family home builders in the United States, that their leadership is having conversations with the Oracle of Omaha, they still need help.
Yeah. Yep. You know, it might have been Clayton, but either way, still makes the point. And if you guys haven't listened to our episode with Anthony Pabas from a few weeks ago, $1 million land deals, because to the whole point that Mason just made, he's got $1 million assignment under contract right now. And the end builder sees that fee and he doesn't care, because he's going to make a massive amount on the vertical construction. And so zooming out for a second and thinking about, forgetting about just land specifically, to give another example of this, where we've watched a market like land become efficient over time because large institutions identified the opportunity, look at mobile home parks and storage units over the last 10 years. Both of those asset classes fit what we're describing, and they still do to a degree relative to apartments, but they really fit what we were describing 10, 15 years ago. Non-consolidated, lots of mom-and-pop owners, not well understood, not nearly the financing available, especially for mobile home parks. And BlackRock, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, but BlackRock and many other big institutions like that identified the opportunity, and they've come in, and I believe it's more mobile home parks with them, but I could be off. It doesn't really matter. Point is, they came in, they saw an opportunity to consolidate, make the industry more efficient, and make a huge amount of huge return in the process. And so that's the same idea. So I'm hoping, guys, that this is getting you thinking about, where are there similar opportunities within your business, whatever it might be, or somewhere else in real estate, because there's still lots of inefficiencies within real estate. It's a very antiquated industry in a lot of ways. I mean, don't even get me started. I'm sure Mason would agree. Don't even get us started on title companies.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And we don't even have to go there yet, because
no.
But I think along those points, Dan, where you guys obviously were talking a lot about real estate and the opportunities within the real estate space. But my background, my level of expertise comes from the healthcare world. And the business that I'll bring up now, you'll hear it and you'll be like, Mason, that has nothing to do with healthcare. And it's the cash advance business, the payday loan people. You hear that and you hear loan shark and you hear, oh, those are people that their car broke down and they're going to go to whoever can provide them cash at the quickest, you know, in the quickest possible way at ridiculously high rates. And you know who one of the greatest users of companies like that is? It's physicians. It's these independent physician offices where they're getting payment from insurance companies, and specifically government-backed insurance companies like the VA or Medicare, Medicaid, that it might take anywhere from 30 to 360 days to receive payment. And these physicians aren't able to keep their office going unless they're getting these payday loans. And so it's a really fascinating space and an opportunity where, if you saw the rates that these people are being able to charge, I mean, what they do is they pretty much take whatever the local state is and figure out what the usury laws are, and they subtract 1% to what it is. And these are physicians, the people that are living in the nice houses and the nice neighborhoods that are using these big billboard cash advance companies in order to be able to pay themselves and pay their staff, because it takes a long time to receive reimbursement in the healthcare world. So I know that I've had friends that have started cash advance businesses within the healthcare industry because they see that it's an opportunity. And if you develop relationships with the right physicians and you're able to go in and say, hey, I'm approaching this business a little bit differently rather than doing the billboard scammy type stuff that we try to stay away from within all of our business and be able to provide a competitive rate, there's another opportunity within this kind of in-between lending space. And with that being said, obviously, Dan and I try to factor in morals and ethics in all of the businesses that we're doing, and we're not suggesting you go out and try and take advantage of people. And I think what you have to realize from a mindset perspective is these people need their money. So if you can go in and provide a level of professionalism and a higher quality product than others, you're going to win all day and all night. And the customers that you're working with are going to be ecstatic that they have the opportunity to work with you. And that really is how we came up with Ground Up Partners in general, is because of all of these macro level things that we're talking about and the inefficiency in the space and the people that we were working with and the good competition and good people out there, as well as the bad people. So I think we can kind of move the show towards spending time on what we are actually doing with Ground Up Partners.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. And real quick, I just want to comment on the cash advance to physicians. It's simple. The government is incredibly wasteful and inefficient. And so that created an opportunity for those cash advance businesses. And I wouldn't feel too bad about charging high rates to doctors. So anyways, agreed. And so quite simply, with Ground Up Partners, we're filling the hole that is in the land space, which is the capital. And so Mason and I are providing capital to land flippers and land developers who need debt, equity partners to close and then ultimately profit off of the land. In summary, anything you want to add there, Mason?
Yeah, I think it goes back into Dan and I consider ourselves, and some people consider ourselves, experts within the land flipping space because of having done so many deals within the time period that we've been operating our own individual businesses. So we really understand the asset class. And then with that, having understood the market inefficiencies, people are able to come to us and we view our deal providers as partners. That's why we don't typically work with wholesalers because there's a misalignment of incentives with it. So the way the process really works is Dan and I either use our own capital or the capital of investors that trust us. Then people submit a deal to us at gupland.com or gupland.com. It's a really easy form to fill out. And what we do is we analyze it ourselves and do the due diligence or our own level of due diligence on top of whatever it is that you've already done. And we partner with you. And we typically, for us putting all of our own capital at risk, and we do usually right around a 50-50 profit share of it. You have no risk in the deal whenever you are working with us. You get to hear from us on our thoughts and what we think the best strategy is with this piece of land that we would partner with you on. And it's a win-win solution of most of you guys that are in this land flipping space do not have the capital resources to be able to go out and close so many deals. And so just like that example we shared where that other lending company said, hey, I know there's 40 to 50K of profit in this deal. We'll give you $5,000, as versus working with us of, hey, let's try and sell it for as much as we can and split the profits and we each get 20 or 30 grand. So I think we try to do business in the right way. We try to work as quickly as we can and we try to accept feedback from all of the partners that we have on all ends of the deal to figure out how we can continuously get better. Because while Dan and I have the ideas of how things can and should be done, we're not self-certain in the way that we're doing things. We know that it works for us. We know that it works for our partners and clients, but we are seeking to get better because we don't really have a model to base this business off of just because there aren't the people out there that exist that are doing it the way we want to be doing it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I remember years ago, Mason, there's a hard money lender I've used personally for rehabs and new construction for years. And I never thought about what does a hard money lender's business look like. And sometimes it is just someone that's accrued a decent amount of capital and wants to lend their own capital. Great. But this person, I forget how I figured this out because this was a long time ago. I think I was 22, 23 the first time I used him. And in one of the I think we were accidentally sent paperwork we shouldn't have been. And I saw, oh, he's raising money at 6%. At the time, rates were much lower, at 6%. And then he's selling it to me at 12% plus some points. And this is all a bank does all day long. But the concept really clicked when I saw that with him. And I thought to myself, wait a second, what if we did that within land? And so this idea had started coming about a long time ago. And that's really the model we're working towards in the long run, where we can also be partnered with potentially developers doing the horizontal, people like my contractor who I referenced earlier. So we have a long way to go. But beyond just the simple arbitrage, wholesale to retail, we are working to grow this to be able to fill all the holes in the market, because there are many.
Absolutely. And I hope that some of the people that are listening are in this space, whether it's the land flipping space or the contractors or the developers that have the same issues that we have, or on the other side of it, where you're a high net worth individual or you're a part of a high net worth office or private equity fund, and you see, oh, Mason and Dan are onto something here. However, the way that they're going about this, there's better way to do it. Reach out to us. We have our socials all over everything, and we love having conversations about this, because as we move into this world, which is essentially the private equity world, and we'll share everything that we can that we're allowed to and legally allowed to share along this journey with you guys, so you can learn from us. We're excited to learn. We're excited to be involved. And the best way for us to continue to grow and revolutionize this space is having conversations with people that are better and smarter than us, just like a lot of the guests we have on this show.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that was a pretty succinct summary there. So all that to say, guys, thanks for tuning in. Dan Habercost and Mason McDonald with the Big Picture Blueprint, signing off.
And that's it for today's episode of the Big Picture Blueprint. If you found it helpful, please share it with your friends or anyone you think that it could benefit. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating, and we'll see you in the next episode.